nothing but recording all day long.
Why is that?
Can you hear us at all?
Yeah. Yeah. Can you hear me?
You might need to switch your mic back to Omni.
I did.
Why so grumpy? Why so grumpy?
We just recorded our show and Sean's cut out during the middle of it.
Oh no!
So kind of spent.
I forgot.
An hour for nothing.
Well, you got the warm up, right?
Yeah, we did warm up, I guess. Sean can juggle.
I think I knew that. Actually, I remember him doing that at Devil's Due.
Really?
Yeah.
This is weird.
I mean, it's not like something he did every day, but I remember him showing us at Devil's Due once.
I took a class in elementary school and couldn't do it. And then as a teenager, I found these juggling sacks and was like, holy shit, I can juggle.
You said sacks. You're juggling sacks. Sorry.
Saxophone.
Yeah. I could never quite get juggling down myself. I got as far as that thing where you're supposed to start out by just putting them in your hands and then dropping them. You know?
Put them in your hands.
I don't think that's a step.
No, that's a joke.
Oh.
Anytime I ever see somebody on TV trying to teach somebody else how to juggle, that's the first thing they do, because that's what you'll be doing a lot while you learn.
Mm.
So. I was pretty good at dropping them. Anyway, welcome to week 724 of the Crankcast.
Make sure you're recording.
I am. But keep in mind, that's happened to us before, too.
I know.
So
it's just a bummer. Yeah, his computer just stopped it in the middle.
Huh, that's weird.
And we didn't know. So we drew a whole thing.
Was it? Do you guys do this in multi-parts, I guess? Because you want to capture each one of you?
Mm-hmm.
So it was just his part that's missing, right?
Yeah.
My guess is that I might have hit escape or something while I was drawing at one point.
Oh, yeah, because you were trying to find all your stuff.
And maybe it stopped the recording somehow. It somehow was in QuickTime. Mm.
Dang it, Dove.
That's my only guess. I don't know if that's true.
Now we got to make a whole nother one.
Maybe you can salvage what's there or the other one.
I don't see how, because we're all talking to each other.
Oh. Damn your production qualities. Your standards.
Yeah, I know, right?
Your high standards.
I'm still saying John should just re-record responses to Mike and I talking. Or Mike and me talking.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That'd be a way to salvage it.
Listen to both, and then every now and then just comment.
Well, it's like, only our third one, so I'd rather the experimental weirdness to come later after we've established ourselves as a actual show.
Whereas we've left all our experimenting days behind us, but I want to try some new stuff.
Like what?
I don't know. I want to shake the format up a little.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
How?
I don't know yet. I'm still gelling on it.
Uh-oh.
Shaking it up.
Crank style.
You know, we'll figure something out. I still keep thinking we ought to have people on again more.
Yeah?
I mean, it's not like we were regular at doing that anyway, but we did a lot more than we have in the past few years.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's just easier not to.
Yeah, totally. But I got a gross story for you.
Why do we have a gross story? Who wants a gross story?
It relates to the cats.
Oh no.
Yeah.
I don't want a gross story about the cats. That means one of them's dead, isn't it?
Well, I still think one of them must be, because I haven't seen that third one around for a while. But this doesn't have anything to do with that. Okay, so a little bit of background. I think that at this point, Persephone, the mother.
Yeah.
And I'm calling the kittens OMG and seriously, like SRSLY.
You don't get to name them if you're not going to keep them.
Well, dude, they're on my property all the time. I can call them whatever I want. Anyway, so I think through the fact that, you know, I think she understands that I'm not going to, like, stalk her or rush her, because I don't. And we've been, you know, within 10 feet of each other a bunch of times since she's been born. Occasionally she'll get really, like, because sometimes they'll come up and sit on my porch.
Mm-hmm.
And when I come out for a smoke, they won't immediately run away unless I start coming at them. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, they've been doing that off and on, where they just kind of sit around and within, you know, 5 to 10 feet of me, as long as I don't try to do anything to them. So last night, this was like about midnight or so, I was going out for a smoke break from work, and I open up my front door, and right there at the top of my steps, I see this shape that's not one of the cats, right?
Was it Michael Myers?
No, not that big a shape. It was like a little fuzzy lump on the porch, right? I'm like, what the fuck? You know, so I turn on the porch light, and I look out, and I'm like, okay, I still couldn't quite make it out, but as I'm staring at it, I recognize the hind feet and tail, and it must have been a juvenile rabbit without its head. And then when I open up I turn off the porch light and open up the screen door, and I look out, and sure enough, there the cats are on the other end of the porch, sitting there just looking at me, right? So I go out for my smoke, and I'm sitting there talking to Persephone, like, looking back and forth between the dead rabbit and her, going like, okay, I understand you gotta eat, but, like, not on my porch, okay? You know? Because...
Yeah, Gabe, that's a presentation for you.
No, that was their dinner.
That was an offering.
That's a gift.
No, because when I came out next, it was gone.
No, they brought it out for you.
No, it was their dinner, dude.
They were disappointed you didn't take it.
Yeah, you offended them.
Well, that's fine, as long as they don't keep bringing dead animals up onto my porch.
Well, they're going to bring bigger things now.
Small children.
You'll be sorry.
But, I mean, just, you know, imagine walking out on your front porch and there being a headless rabbit there. Like,
it happens every day for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Huh.
Julie, I mean, I put it there, but...
Julie must really like you.
Julie does it. Julie does not... is not going to let me have the rest of that rabbit.
So yeah, that's my update on the cat star. Anyway, it's just to put it in perspective, you know, feral cats are.
Yeah, we know what you're trying to do.
They're predators.
We know you're trying to make us think that
they're nuisances.
Yeah, well, but they're not.
They are.
You're a monster for not taking them in.
You're naive for wanting me to.
I'm not naive.
Yeah, knowing you that knows me, and. Telling me that I should be taking them in, yeah, that's pretty naive, dude.
No, you should have.
So, yeah. But that was exciting. Anyway.
Everybody's mad at you over here now.
Are they?
Yeah. Can't you hear them?
Crickets.
Crickets. See? That was Sean.
Crickets.
They're so mad.
Grr. Arg.
They don't know what to do with themselves. They're so angry.
They're just still angry about the podcast failing.
Well, I would rather it failed because of our personalities than because of technical issues.
What? That's weird.
You're fucking weird, dude.
Huh. Okay, anyway. What else is new? Oh, so I was reading this book that was called The Encyclopedia of Fantasy Art Techniques, or something like that. And it was sort of a how-to book-ish, but, you know, it had a nice big gallery in the back of sample fantasy art and stuff. But, so I'm reading through the first part, though, and this book was published in 96. So reading the parts where they're talking about like technology stuff, computer-based art and whatnot, is hilarious. Because like one thing they're talking about how they have in each section they've got like a thing where it's like a imagine a project kind of thing. And so they're talking about, you know, you got a job to do art for a CD-ROM multimedia thing.
Oh, yeah.
And then after that it says, now while CDs contain, you know, are able to contain more information than probably all the hard drives on your computer, let yourself go crazy and say like, or something like that. I'm like, holy crap. Yeah, but then I started thinking about it. I'm like, yeah, back in 96, I think I had like a, the biggest drive I have was like maybe a 300 megabyte drive or something like that.
Yeah.
So I'm like, well, I guess they had a point at the time. I mean, CD-ROMs did have more space.
Mega Drive.
But, and then they were talking about something else. Oh, they were talking about, like, just the examples they were using for, like, ripple effects and stuff, you know, like your basic built-in Photoshop plugins from 96.
Yeah.
And, like, Solarize, you know, and stuff like that. And I'm like... I couldn't help it. I was actually laughing out loud when I was reading it.
They call me Solar Eyes.
Solar Eyes. But, and even further into the book, some of the examples of, like, digital art were just terrible. Like, I bet that was hot stuff back then, you know? Like,
was it, like, Shatter?
Oh, I remember. That was the first digital comic book, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I found a copy of that one time in the like a quarter bin.
I have some issues of that.
That was from like the 80s, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Early, like early to mid 80s.
And it was black and white and red?
I don't remember there being any color in it.
I thought it was, I remember it being black and white, but I thought it had like red, like accents here and there or something like that.
Like I said, I don't remember any color in it.
But yeah, I do remember it. I remember the logo was all like bitmappy and stuff. Well, the art was all like kind of bitmappy.
Yeah, too. It was all bitmappy.
Yeah. I've still got a file. It's either a file or a printout in one of my files. But of something I did back in like 91 or 92 when I was still in high school, you know, and I did it on a Apple II, I think. And it was whatever the paint program was in there. That probably came with it, you know. And it was, I had done a picture of the Enterprise, all in bitmappy looking, you know, crappy pencil, kind of digital pencil art. And it's, I mean, it's not terrible, but it's still, it's funny to look at, because I'm like, that was like high tech. And our scanner back then was just a black and white scanner that was super low res. Like, you'd scan stuff in, and the stuff scanned in would look worse than a photocopy. I mean, and, you know, so on the one hand, it's really great how far along technology's come. Not only just, you know, the technology improvements, but the affordability of it. Because, I mean, those Apple IIs and shit like that back then were... I mean, to buy a scanner, you had to spend like $1,000 or something for a shit. For a really crappy scanner, you know. Do you remember those handheld scanners? From the 90s? I knew a lot of people that had those because they were slightly cheaper than buying a flatbed scanner.
Yeah, they suck.
You'd get those jigs, like if unless you were.
They were not worth it.
Unless you were a dead steady hand, like you'd get those things where your hand would move a little bit from side to side, so your picture wouldn't line up. Oh man, those were the days. So much unpredictability. But anyway. It's kind of hard to actually wax nostalgic about that stuff because it was a pain in the ass a lot of times. I remember when I first started working in Illustrator, I think it was like 5 or 6, version 5 or 6. And it was really hard to work in. Like, there were things that just, they were on the horizon, you know, just a couple of versions down the road that became like the stable things that made things work better. But they weren't quite there yet, you know? I remember it being a real pain in the ass to handle anchors. And when you had to do, like, combine paths or anything like that, separate paths or anything, that was a real pain in the ass.
I still think it's a pain in the ass.
Illustrator?
Yeah.
I mean,
I'm not very good with it.
I don't know about the I still haven't used the CC versions yet, so I don't know. I'm still on version 6, I guess. 5.5 or 6, I don't remember which. But, I mean, it does everything I need to do right now. I became one of those people that, those holdouts that kept using, was it CorelDRAW forever?
Oh!
Or was it the CorelDRAW, or was it the other one? That's something X?
Painter?
Well, no, what was the vector version of Painter?
Oh, I don't know.
Because I remember some letters hanging on to that thing for like years after they discontinued updating it or anything.
Man, I've been wanting to get my hands on Painter again. I used to have it, but I think I lost the discs at some point.
Yeah, I probably still have copies of it floating around on old software discs. Because it's one of those programs that a lot of people use, so I tried it out a couple of different times, but I could never quite get the hang of it.
Yeah. When I was trying to use it for more, illustration stuff, it was a little cumbersome, but I don't know. I know Matt Hollingsworth uses a lot for his coloring, and he gets really cool effects out of it.
Is that still an updated program?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I remember Painter, back in the day, Painter was notable because it handled media textures really well, where Photoshop didn't have that function back then.
Yeah, because you would the texture, instead of being in the brush like Photoshop, you would actually set the texture to the paper. So when no matter what brush you would use, it would treat just like traditional media. It would pick up the texture of the paper or canvas or whatever style you wanted it to be.
And I remember it did a pretty good job of, emulating oils and stuff, the way you could blend things.
Yeah. Their watercolors are amazing because you would actually paint with the watercolors and they would, blend with each other and do all that stuff until you told the canvas to dry. And then it would dry the watercolor, and then when you paint it over with the watercolor, it would layer over it after that because all the stuff below it was technically dry now.
Yeah, I mean, stuff like that was just neat, you know? It wasn't like...
Mm-hmm.
I think for me, it's just because I never really had any formal training in using watercolors or oils or anything like that, it didn't... I couldn't quite, figure it out. Mm-hmm. Because it was emulating something I really didn't have any knowledge of anyway.
It's until you see someone actually sit down with it who really knows their stuff, it just kind of comes off as gimmicky. But then when they, actually say, someone actually sits down with it, it's no, this is how you're supposed to use it. And all of a sudden, it's wow, that is really awesome.
Now, more recently, I've seen people do really impressive stuff with the brushes, both in, both in Photoshop and in, Manga Studio? Is that what you use, Mike? Clip Studio.
Mm-hmm. Clip Studio.
Like Frendon's brushes in Clip Studio. I mean, his brushes do a really good job at a variety of tasks, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Webster's brushes in Photoshop, a lot of those are really good, too.
Yeah.
I haven't seen much of what he's done since he went, exclusive to the CC version. But I had bought some of his brush packs prior to that, and I mean, a lot of those are really handy. Mm-hmm. For pressure and shape and stuff like that. But yeah, so I mean, art programs are cool. And the people that are really good at Illustrator, illustrating an Illustrator, instead of doing, design work or whatever, which is, I mean, not that design work's any less of a thing, it's just that I'm specifying the illustration part. But the people who are really good at that are I remember even back in the mid-2000s, we were at I think it was a San Diego show, and somebody was giving a demonstration at the time of, I think it wasn't Illustrator they were demonstrating, a piece of hardware, but they were using Illustrator as the demonstration thing. And they were doing these really intricate pieces that looked, I mean, they were all vector, but they looked like they could have been raster art,
Mm-hmm.
There was a comic book artist that used to work in Illustrator back in the 2000s, too.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember his name. I can't remember the book he was doing. Was it a horror book? Or a pirate book?
Mm.
But he did all of his stuff in as Vector art, and it looked really good. It was real sharp. So it's, yeah, I mean, I guess that's just one of those things. If you're used to using it, it's a handy tool.
Mm-hmm.
I still try to, like, with other programs for other stuff, like music programs and stuff, I still try out new things every now and then, but I want to always fall back on the stuff I know just to get something done, you know?
Just also sometimes just the, like, the buy-in is so high to just try something. I know they have trials often, but, you know, like, painter's like $400 still these days.
Which, I mean, that's not unreasonable as a price point. I mean, yeah. It's unreasonable if you can never figure out how to use it, because then you just wasted $400.
Yeah.
But if it actually becomes a... Compared to, like, you know... Not the initial buy-in, but the overall buy-in to keep using Photoshop, which is just... It's cumulative for the life of however long you're using it now. You know, I mean, that far outweighs just paying $400 for a program that if you do get good at it, you can keep using for forever or until your system won't use it anymore.
I think it'd be nice if those, like, people who wanted to still keep doing perpetual licenses did offer a, in addition to that, a subscription option.
Yeah, so, like, I suspect, though, that Adobe didn't go with that because they knew more people would take it. And, frankly, it's just much better for them to have a subscription service, like, you know, money-wise.
Yeah.
Because... I think that was part of their problem, where, you know, a lot of people were hanging on to versions that were, you know, 3-4 generations old.
Yeah.
And waiting to upgrade, you know, they would only upgrade every, you know, 6-7 years or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Or whenever they were forced to by hardware or operating system problems or something, you know, like. And, I think if they would have kept the option open, because they tried keeping the option open with 6. 6 was the last version you could still buy a license for, but that was also when they started the subscription service. Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that after, you know, they did that as a trial run and realized that, well, we're not going to be able to shovel enough people into our subscription service if we leave it open like this. Which is, I don't know, you know. It's their stuff. It's, you know, it's their toys. They could say what they want to do with it, right? So.
Yeah. I would think that you'd get some people who are just like, oh, I want to do the subscription service, so, you know, I can use it here and there, and if I stop using it as much, I just cancel the subscription. But then you'd get those people who, I just want to buy the perpetual license, and I know I'm going to use this a whole bunch.
Yeah, I mean, I do see a lot of, like, on when I'm looking up stuff on message boards, when I'm just trying to figure out how to do something or whatever, you know, you'll run across threads of people talking about that, like, where they would just rather... have a license instead of a subscription. I mean, so that there is a, you know, there are people out there that want that, but...
I just think it would get you more of a... I mean, I'm sure they've done all the market research to prove otherwise, but I would just think you'd get a broader market there, because then you'd get the subscription people, and then you'd also get people willing to shell out the money.
You gotta...
You know, makes it a lot harder to steal.
Oh, no, it doesn't.
Okay.
It's all over the place, still.
There's not an easy way to just get an app without signing in to your account.
Yeah.
No, I mean, the current Adobe stuff's all over the pirate sites, still.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm just saying, like, it was way easier to pirate and get a key before, I'm betting, than now. Yeah.
Because I think, really, it's not much different. They just have to trick the program into thinking it's authorized and talking, you know?
I'm just guessing there's a lot more actual paying users now than there are in the past.
My reasoning isn't going adding a perpetual license to an already subscription service. Mine is more, why wouldn't you add a subscription option in addition to the perpetual,
Like, if you only do the perpetual, why not add the subscription for people who wouldn't buy the perpetual to begin with?
Well, Adobe's in a position to call the shots on this. I mean, they've established themselves as pretty much the industry standard for this stuff, you know? So they've got the weight to just say, you know what, if you want to use this is how you're going to use this. Like, they really don't have to cater to, you know, people wanting a perpetual license.
I see a lot of people complaining about it, but, like, and I get the idea, but at the same time, like, $52 for me to have all the apps a month in terms of my job is very small.
Yeah.
And also, like, it's a write-off.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It doesn't seem unreasonable to me. And then they also make it fairly easy for students and teachers to get it for pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I've read a lot of problems about canceling services with them, though.
I've never...
I mean, yeah, you haven't... If you're not canceling, you're not going to run into that problem.
No, you just, it's just turning it on and turning it off. It's just, it's a monthly payment, so you just turn your monthly payments off.
I don't know, the reports I've read said that, like, people have canceled their subscriptions and then kept getting billed for it. And then there was something about, if you canceled it at a certain time point, you still had to pay for the rest of the time anyway?
I wonder if that's if you did, because you get a cheaper rate if you paid for multiple months.
Yeah. So I guess they don't prorate it or something?
Yeah, that's like any subscription service. You sign up for, you know, you sign up for like Amazon Prime and...
But they prorate.
I think they'll only prorate it if you called and like complained.
No, it's in their help file. Look, I was halfway thinking about canceling my Prime service. They'll prorate they'll prorate the rest of your period.
Oh.
I mean, I get what you're saying. I'm just saying that Amazon will prorate, you know. But, like, I don't know. There's pros and cons against the subscription system. I think a lot of it for a lot of people is just the, it's probably, you know, the people that have been using, like, Photoshop and Illustrator for a long time and were used to having licenses as opposed to, like, if they didn't want to upgrade for whatever reason, they could still just keep using their software.
Well, we were hit by it because in the last year I was at Academy of Art, they worked out a deal with Adobe where we got the CS6 Creative Suite. I can't remember if it was the full Creative Suite or if it was just like Photoshop and Illustrator.
Okay.
But it was the last edition before they went monthly.
Right.
Everyone in the school got it for free.
Oh, sweet.
For you know, paying tuition and whatnot, so not really free. But then, a few years later, all of a sudden, we lost our license.
Oh, it wouldn't authorize with the servers anymore?
It took away our license, which this was something that we were, you know, being kind of billed at, or like, given as originally, like, here's a free license that we thought we would have for life.
Huh.
So a lot of people were really pissed about that at the school. I think they then let us like do the subscription service at a discounted rate for a few years.
Yeah.
After school. But then. Then eventually it just went away completely.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, Adobe's in a position where they can pretty much do what they want.
Yeah.
Like, and what are you going to do, right? I mean.
Yeah, I was more like I'm a proponent for the subscription service. I was more talking about other companies. Like, I was talking about, like, with Painter right now, like I said, you can buy the perpetual license for $4.29. But it'd be cool if they also offered a subscription option.
Something where, like, a better than a tryout, where you could actually do it for, like, 6 months and work with it to see if you can deal with it before you actually pay out for it or something. Like,
yeah, and I think that would bring in more amateurs.
Yeah.
You know, people who aren't professionals who are willing to throw down, you know, for nearly $450 probably after tax, just sitting. You know, someone who just wants to play around with it for a few months and learn it.
When you buy a copy of Peter, does it still come in the big metal paint can like it used to? Do you guys remember that?
Yeah,
I remember. I never had one, but I remember seeing it, yeah.
Box was literally in, like an old, like actual metal paint can.
Oh, that's awesome. No, mine was a cardboard slipcase with a few different discs, I think. I think it came with one or two.
Is that still Procreate? Is that who makes that?
No.
Is it Corel, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Procreate's a different one.
Painter X is the one I remember.
Yeah, they're on 20 now. That was...
Wow.
Or Painter 2020. I guess they started assigning years to it instead of edition numbers.
They, I mean, you know, we're, in the past decade, you know, we've also had a rise of actually more competent, cheaper alternatives too, like if you can't afford to pay for a license for something or whatever. I mean, like, well, a Paint, or a Clip Studio's one, I mean, that's not a very expensive program.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really capable for what it does.
They do have a Painter Essentials 6 for... it's on sale for $40 right now. So I guess if someone is just wanting to mess around, that would be
an option. Oh, I guess that's a good way to... Because, I mean, it's probably just a more limited feature set, right?
Yeah.
But it might be the same, like, stuff internally for the most part. So, yeah, that'd be a good way to, like, try it out.
Yeah.
And then decide whether or not you actually need all the other stuff. Like.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't tried this out yet, but it's another one I've been looking at, and it's getting a lot of good reviews, is the Affinity stuff. The Serif Affinity, I think Photo and Affinity,
mm-hmm.
whatever the other one's called, that's the Illustrator version. But those are, like, dead cheap, like $60 or something like that. $50, $60. And they're, and I think they've either introduced or are getting ready to introduce a version of, like, InDesign, or, you know, layout program. And but you know, those seem to get really good reviews now. I mean, from what I read on their support stuff, like, you know, they've got some problems too, just, and of course nothing's completely interchangeable with Adobe stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I think it can, like you can import the AI files, but you can't export AI files, stuff like that. Which part of the problem is, you know, there's still enough of, like, enough of my clients need, like, certain kinds of files that only Illustrator puts out, you know? So, it's like, I mean, I could output, like, an EPS, but that's not the same as, you know, you lose some information, like, that way. And EPS is one of those weird things that I don't quite understand how that's hung on so long, because that's, like, a really old format.
I mean, that's the majority of, when I was at Image, that's how the majority of lettering files came in.
Yeah, I always wonder, like, other people's process, because I tend to like working with the print-ready PDFs, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's no, you don't have to muck about with, like, laying them out in a program and possibly misaligning the balloons, like, that are button edges or whatever.
I mean, I never really... It was pretty rare that I would run into situations where the balloons wouldn't line up with the borders when they were pressed right up against them. The only time I ever really had an issue was if I knew the letter was lettering over, like, low-res TIFFs.
Oh, yeah, because the borders get smeared.
Yeah. But, yeah, usually the... The EPS was pretty consistent in lining up. I also liked it because then I could go, like, if we couldn't get a hold of the letter for a revision, like, if there was just, like, a comma missing or something like that, I could go into the EPS file and copy and paste a comma from somewhere else in the EPS file.
Oh, sure. I mean, you could do that with the PDFs, too, as long as they saved them is like retaining, you know, editability.
Mm-hmm.
You can just open those back up in Illustrator as long as you've got the art there to place
yeah.
it again. You know, you can do. It's just like working with an EPS.
Yeah.
But they you know, and it's still weird because you run into stuff like. Like, there's a couple of people, Dark Horse is one, where they still use, they specifically want a certain size EPS that's, like, got more bleed than standard. It's got, like, a quarter inch more bleed than, like, what I'd submit to, like, Image and other places, you know? And they still want the EPSs, like, with the art stripped out so they can marry them back in whatever they're using, Cork or InDesign.
At this point.
there are still people using Cork, like, which, you know, cool, I guess.
Yeah, perpetual license and they're hanging on to it.
Yeah, I guess so. I think, they still make Cork, don't they? I'm not sure. I remember we worked in Cork back in Devil's Due early on, but that was because InDesign wasn't really quite there yet. I think we tried out InDesign and it was missing some features that Cork had or something. Because by the mid 2000s, I think we had moved over to InDesign completely, but that was like CS5, I think. But yeah. Hey, that was random production talk and software.
Just the final thing, if anyone at Adobe is listening, could we please just get a Photoshop, Illustrator, InDesign package?
Can you? I thought they were a la carte with their stuff.
They are, but you know, they have the one that's like Photoshop. What's the one? Lightroom.
Oh.
They have, like, the Photo Essentials package for photographers.
Is it something like where you get a bundle discount or something?
Yeah.
I see. Jesus, Mike, what are you doing?
Nothing.
Are you frustrated? You're chewing on ice, man.
I'm not.
Sounds like ice.
No. It's rocks.
That's got to be horrible on your teeth.
No. I have a murder deficiency.
A murder deficiency?
Gotta murder someone.
You're gonna get all stabby?
Just stabby.
So, yeah, if you go to lunch with Mike today, watch out for the tableware, the knives and forks and stuff. Maybe, you know, discreetly take his away.
You're about to get murdered.
Yeah. So, have you watched anything good?
Nope.
Have you watched anything bad?
No.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Just not really watching too much, huh?
Not really.
Sometimes I imagine that Mike goes home and he just, like, unplugs his mainframe.
That's kind of what happens. That's kind of what happened.
The lights go out of his eyes and his head just slumps down. Like,
He actually has a closet here in the building that he walks over to and closes himself in. He doesn't actually go home.
So did you know that Sylvester Stallone still makes B action movies?
Yeah.
I watched one the other night.
Uh-huh.
It was called Escape Plan 2.
Yeah, but there's like three of those.
Yeah, the third one just came out. But it's not, you know, free on Amazon yet.
Who's in that one?
It's still Stallone. I think Batista's in it again. Well, here, I can tell you. It's got, yeah.
First one has Schwarzenegger, right?
Yeah. But it's one of those things where I got to wonder, because there was another Schwarzenegger movie I saw not that long ago called Killing Frank or something like that. But, like, it's Schwarzenegger for a very brief part of the movie kind of thing. And with the escape plan thing, that's the same way with Stallone, where, I mean, he's in the movie, but it's, like, real brief. Like, he's got some real short appearances throughout the movie, and then he's in it pretty much through the end.
Yeah.
Like the last 20 minutes or 15 minutes of the movie or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, and that's the way that kill, I think it was called Killing Frank was with, Schwarzenegger, where you don't see him until like the last, you know, 20 minutes of the movie. And then that's it. That's all he's in it.
Yeah.
So it's like, I wonder, cause I mean, these guys were given what they used to make. I imagine that their fees are still pretty high.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean,
that's why they're not in the whole movie.
Right. That's what I'm guessing. That's why it's like this, because, you know, it would cost too much to actually have him in the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, like, really strange. I mean, it wasn't a bad movie, that second escape plan. It had a lot of good action stuff in it. But it was just weird. Like, oh, Killing Gunther. That was the one with Schwarzenegger. And I keep seeing these newer like Van Damme, Dolph Lundgren movies pop up too.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, we talked recently about how like Bruce Willis is in a ton of shit recently. Like, and it's all that.
If you got $1 million, he's in your movie.
Isn't that weird? But I guess that's a return, right? Because if you have Bruce Willis in your movie will probably make some money.
I guess.
Although it seems like maybe that, you know, that his being in so much stuff, maybe his value isn't as much. I don't know, man, but Keanu Reeves is in a ton of shit, too. Like, and a lot of times it's kind of B-fair type whatever.
Does what he wants, man.
I guess so. Because he was in, I watched this last year, he was in a movie called Siberia, which was sort of Wick-ish, I guess. Not really, but it was in that action frame anyway.
I would like him to be in a Wicked-ish movie.
Where he plays the witch?
No, where he plays Wicked.
Oh, Wicked the Ewok?
Yeah.
That would be something.
That's one tall Ewok.
We should, we should see if we can arrange that.
That's a tall Ewok.
Yeah. Sort of like the reverse of the short Stormtrooper joke.
Yeah.
Right.
Aren't you a little tall to be an Ewok?
Exactly. But, anyway. I don't know. I thought I had something else. Oh, I've been reading some more Eisner.
No, you haven't.
Yeah.
No, you haven't.
Yeah?
Nope.
Okay, yeah.
So?
It's good stuff. And this one, it's the Eisner Reader. It was another one of those, like, kind of short collections of shorts that Dark Horse put out.
Mm-hmm.
So it's only got, like, 7 stories in it. But this one's actually got some funny stuff in it, so it's not all depressing, like, you know, Family Matter and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. I'm reading another Murakami book, too. Which is, after having read enough of him now, I kind of see, like, his stuff all kind of follows the same pattern. More or less.
I see patterns.
This one's called Dance, 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 and it's, like, if I just described it in sort of vague details, it would just sound like another one of his books. Like, if I gave it, like, a brief, like, a guy falls into something weird and meets a girl and more weird shit happens kind of thing.
Falls into something weird? Like the stuff?
Like, you know, a weird ass hotel that's not there. Like,
I'm scared.
Yeah, it's kind of a horror book, sort of. But, yeah, you know. Oh, I also recently watched an early mid-2000s. Well, no, I guess it was late 2000s. 2008, maybe? 9? It was a Cinemax, like, softcore porn sci-fi show.
Okay.
And it was kind of really amazing how they managed. Each episode was only like 23 minutes long.
Oh, yeah, because it's a fucking porn crank.
Well, right, and fully half of that were these softcore porn scenes, and yet they still managed to string a whole story together out of this stuff with only like 15 minutes of time.
Is there a reason you're not telling me the name of this thing? Because it sounds ridiculous?
Oh, no, it was called, hold on, I have to look it up again. The name wasn't really what I was watching it for, you know? What?
I'm just laughing at Sean laughing at you.
Oh, it was called Forbidden Science. So it was a sexy sci-fi. But it had had this actress I saw in another movie, and that's why I looked up this TV show. Noelle Dubois is her name.
No, it's not.
Oh, it could be Noelle Dubois, but I think it's Dubois. And if you're curious about that, it's a movie called Night Vision. It's on Amazon Prime right now.
Night Vision?
Night Vision, yeah. It's from 2013.
Does she have night vision in it?
No. She's a stalker. A sexy stalker.
Yeah,
that's not sexy. Mm-hmm. A sexy, sexy stalker. Yeah. It's a super low budget thing, and it's not reviewed very well, but actually I thought it was halfway decently done. Plus you get to see her naked, so, you know.
Really?
That's cool. Yeah, she's Canadian. Yeah. Noelle Dubois.
Stop saying it.
Look her up. Noelle Dubois.
No.
Oh, yeah. You know you want to.
Noelle the Boner.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Nah, too much? So, anyway, but my point is with watching the Forbidden Science show, that it really, it was like an exercise in how to cram the most story into the least amount of space possible so you can make room for boring sex. Like, super boring sex. Which led me to wonder, when softcore porn is filmed, are they still actually having sex there?
No, I don't think so.
I mean, I know they can't show anything, but, like, the way they're bumping stuff and putting their heads in spots, it seems like it would be kind of hard not to actually do stuff.
Haven't you seen Love Actually?
Well, no, I don't think so.
That's a good movie.
One of the storylines is Martin Freeman and I can't remember who plays the woman, but they're like a softcore porn actors, and it's just them like shooting lots of different like angles and scenes. And they'll just kind of make the motions. It's very funny.
Like, I know there's, you know, I know there's, like, stage kisses where you look like you're making out, but you're really not, like, using your tongue or you're really even opening your mouth very much. But, like, I just can't figure out how, in some of these scenes, I don't know, like, how there
don't
wasn't,
worry about it.
How there wasn't something going on.
Don't worry about it.
Just, it's weird, man.
Don't worry about it.
Dude, it's weird. You're weird.
Oh, I know that. Oh, I know that.
Huh. Said everybody funny. Now you funny too.
What? What just happened there? When did... Crank just turned into Dolomite.
George Thorogood, more likely. But Yeah. You know. So, there's that. Anyway. Those are the things I've been watching. Well, I've been watching a ton of low budget, like, horror. Not as low budget as you watch, but still low budget. Or B movie.
Thank you for making that distinction.
Well, I'm not trying to horn in on your territory there, buddy. So, yeah. Although, yeah, I don't know. Anyway, there was one called Scream Park that was filmed in Pittsburgh.
Oh, I want to see that, actually.
It wasn't bad. I mean,
yeah, I've heard that's okay.
It is your typical slasher type movie.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind that. That can be fun.
But it was, like, none of the acting was terrible, yeah. I didn't think. And
it doesn't matter if some of it is that terrible, actually.
And it's got, what's his name? Kevin Ogilvy, Ogre, the band Ogre, O-H-G-R. Yeah, I think he was in Skinny Puppy, too. Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, it's got him in it, and it's got a cameo by Doug Bradley, which is kind of cool.
Who's that?
Pinhead.
Oh.
The original Pinhead. And the reason I had watched that is because I'd watched another movie called Meltdown.
Meltdown.
Which has a... They share an actress.
Hmm.
Meltdown was not great. That one actually probably wasn't in the vein of the kind of movies you watch. Just in production quality and stuff like that. It wasn't straight like camcorder things or anything, but like... And it's a post-apocalyptic zombie type thing. They do this weird 2-year jump where all the characters sort of change because of the stuff that happened in the 2 years that you didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just ends. Like, it ends like there's supposed to be a Meltdown 2, except this movie was made, like, in 2016 and there hasn't been another movie.
Mm-hmm.
And it just straight, like stopped, essentially. And it was like the camera just ran out of film. You know? So that one was weird, but some of the performances were all right, and the actress that this had that I saw that was in the Scream Park movie, I liked her.
Mm-hmm.
So that led me over into the Scream Park movie. But, and then there was another one, it was a movie and a sequel called Hayride.
Hayride?
Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds good.
They both were not bad.
Yeah, it sounds good.
So... There's that.
I'm down with it.
All right, man.
Let's do it.
You go, dog. Did you figure out what you're calling the second trade yet?
Sort of.
Okay.
I sent you a script for that little short, right?
Which short?
The short story.
The last one I did was the one for the first issue, and that's the last one I got.
I guess I was waiting for Alan to color it, but he hasn't got to it yet.
Oh, okay.
I wanted to have it done for the second issue.
Oh, well, yeah. When's that? That's soon. Huh? That's soon, isn't it?
Pretty soon.
That we have to get that to Image, I mean?
Fairly soon.
I thought as much. Yes. Yes, I did. Okay, then. I don't know. Do we have an email? Perhaps. Perhaps not. In the meantime...
We got no emails.
No email. Well, all right, then.
Something about not liking you, they said.
Who could possibly not like me?
That's a good point. Who could possibly not like you?
I mean, that could be a long list, really. Surprisingly,
I mean, beside Warren Ellis.
I mean, surprisingly, I do rub some people the wrong way.
Like who? Who knows you?
Well, I don't know anymore.
You go to great lengths to not be known by people.
I mean, in the past, I've rubbed people the wrong way, unintentionally.
Well, stop rubbing people. That does it.
Well, that's when I had to start rubbing them out.
What? This day and age, you cannot do that.
What, rubbing them out?
Yes, especially that.
I'm not rubbing one out, Mike. I'm rubbing them all out.
You.
Hey, was I wrong about the heavy metal thing last week?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, I also, that reminds me, speaking of last week, I realized after the fact that I was wildly inaccurate on several of my Dio lyrics.
What?
Yeah.
You were? I thought you were reading those.
No, I was just pulling them out from memory.
Oh, wow. I'm even more impressed.
But the part about, the one I remember specifically being wrong about was the one about the tiger. I said something like, you can see his stripes so you know he's mean, but it's actually, but you know he's clean. Which, I don't know how that makes any more sense.
Fuck, Ronnie James Dio? What does that mean?
I think it means that he looks dirty because of the stripes, but you know he's actually clean? I don't know.
Ronnie James Dio, that doesn't make any damn sense.
Wait, I should probably look that up now to make sure I'm not confusing that again.
Ronnie James Dio.
Because, you know, that would be embarrassing if I'm just wrong all over the place.
Ronnie James Dio has a clean tiger fetish?
Apparently? Let's see. Oh, okay. Yeah. You've been down too long in the midnight sea. Oh, what's becoming of me? Ride the tiger. You can see his stripes, but you know he's clean. Oh, don't you see what I mean?
No, I don't, Ronnie James Dio.
Well, gotta get away. Get away. Gotta get away. Holy diver. Look out!
That's all we care about.
Hey! Yeah, stuff like that. Man, the rest of these lyrics are just as weird when you, like, read them out.
To this day, still a mystery that Ronnie James Dio.
I mean, you gotta figure, this was like 82 or something, 84?
It's like... it's like parents are like, he's the devil! These songs are about the devil! It's like, you wish they were about the devil. These things are weirder than that.
Oh! Okay, I realize now I was transposing lines. Because further down in the song, it says, let's see, holy diver, you're the star of the masquerade, no need to look so afraid. Jump, jump! Jump on the tiger.
You can jump on the tiger!
Jump on the tiger, you can feel his heart, but you know he's mean. Some light can never be seen. Yeah!
I love your... when you choose to actually do the yeah. Well,
yeah, all right. You know,
your little punctuation.
Get away, get away, get away, holy diver. So, yeah. I felt like I needed to clear that up. Cause I
don't think I'd ever want to ride a mean tiger.
Well, you can feel his heart. You know, and you know he's clean. So, yeah, this whole song's about cats. Here's another section is got shiny diamonds like the eyes of a cat in the black and blue. Something is coming for you, and that's when he says, "Look out!" Race for the morning. You can hide from the sun till you see the light. Oh, we will pray it's all right. But yeah, it's this whole song's about cats, dude. That is weird. Why are cats holy diving? Maybe they're holy diving, like with a W-H? Like, entirely diving? Nah, that probably didn't make any sense.
Why does Ronnie James Dio like cats so much?
I mean, cats, tigers and dragons are pretty cool. Am I wrong?
No, you're not wrong.
I mean, tigers and dragons, baby. Yeah, that's right. All right. All right. Get away, get away, get away! Holy diver! Yeah. Cool.
So, all right. Well, thank you. Bye.
Well, okay. I'm looking at what's coming out this week. Which
Grumble.
They used the Battle Pug banner again.
Good. Grumble number 9 is out.
Grumble number 9. So is Goon number 4.
Penultimate issue.
Penultimate.
Yep.
Is that Tellers? Like, did they drop Tellers? So it's Pen and Ultimate now?
We're taking a break.
Well, then it's not penultimate. It's just the last one before a break issue.
Well, it'll be technically a new series.
Oh, okay. So this is the penultimate for Series 1 of Grumble.
Yes.
Right on. Cool.
This is the next series will start in March. And it's called Memphis and Beyond the Infinite.
Memphis and Beyond!
Because they go to Memphis and beyond.
The Infinite. What's the Infinite? Is that a place? A thing?
You'll see.
A concept?
It's all those things.
Ah, very meta, Mike. Meta, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Yeah. Sorry, just looking at all the stuff that's out. There's lots of stuff out.
Mm-hmm.
Just none of it's mine.
And that's all you care about.
Well, I mean, you know. If I see something else that looks interesting, I say it. But, like, Scotty's Middle West number 10 in stores. Sean's Outpost Zero number 12. McKeever, Sean, not Dove Sean. And, yeah, you know. Those are all in stores. Okay, so I guess that's it. I mean, you know, if you look around, all of us have stuff in there. It's just not new. You just kind of have to look around some, right?
Look around.
Every now and then I get a little... No. Let's not. all right, then. Well, in that case, let's see. You can go check out the gang's YouTube. Look up on YouTube 4-Star Studios. And it's called Warm Up.
Maybe there'll be a new episode out sometime.
Exactly. Didn't you just post one yesterday? Monday?
Monday.
Monday. So they've got 2 episodes up now. And they're working on the 3rd. And you can go read Battlepug at battlepug.com. You can go find Sean's stuff at thankyouforflying.com. He occasionally sells things. And Addison's addisonduke.com?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. addisonduke.com.
Look out!
Look out! You got to watch out for those tigers, okay? Just because you can feel their heart doesn't mean they're not mean. But they are clean, despite the stripes. And they're coming for you.
A lot of mixed messages about these tigers.
Cat in the Blue, it's coming for you. Look out! And on that note, you have a good weekend.
No.
Goodbye.
Bye.